All right, Justice, you were part of a panel discussion in Philadelphia, consisting of judges from around the country, federal and state courts involved. Talk a little bit about that discussion and what took place.
Yes, the discussion was really focused on talking about the progress women have made in litigation. And our particular panel was comprised of judges, and we were providing the audience with an overview of statistics of kind of where women sit as a percentage of the various benches in the jurisdictions in which we sit. And so it was kind of interesting to hear the numbers, and what I did was provide the landscape of where we are in Delaware as far as women occupying positions on the benches in Delaware.
I think people would be shocked at the numbers. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, let me just say, as a percentage of women in the Delaware bar, if you look at it over time, for members who have been in the bar 40 years and more, the number of women is only 3.2%. Right now, for the newer members who have been members 10 years and less, it's about 41%. If you look at our two primary business courts, the Delaware Court of Chancery and the Delaware Supreme Court, there have only ever been two women to ever sit on the Court of Chancery. One was Carolyn Berger, who sat from 1984 to 1994, and there have only ever been two women to sit on the Delaware Supreme Court. One was Carolyn Berger, who went from the Court of Chancery to the Delaware Supreme Court, and I am the second one. But to give you a little bit of historical overlay, Kelly, while Delaware is the first state, and we were the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution, we were one of the last states, if not the last state, to admit women to the bar. And so women didn't become a member, weren't allowed to become a member of the bar in Delaware until 1923. And so the first woman ever to become a judge in Delaware was in 1971, rather. That was Roxanna Cannon Arsht. And she was the fifth member of the bar in 1941. And when she got out of law school, she couldn't even really find a paying legal position and ended up working as a master in family court for 9 years unpaid. And finally was made a family court judge in 1971.
Justice Velahira, you were sworn in as Justice of the Supreme Court in July of 2014. In your opinion, what can women in the bar, what have you done as a judge to help others? And I'm sure there are lots of other things that can be done.
Well, I think participating in programs such as this was a national conference, and it was attended by over 360 people, I think helps keep the issue in the forefront. And I should say that some progress has been made. If you look at some of the other courts, Kelly, the Superior Court, for example, if you look back in 1997, 12% of the women on the bench were members of the bench were women. Now it's 33%, 7 of 21 judges, and the president judge is a woman. That's Judge Jan Jordan. The family court is sort of an anomaly. Currently, 65% of the bench is comprised of women judges, and that's up from 38% in 1997. And so you raise a good question. And I think you have to kind of look at why are the numbers so low in certain areas. And I think having been in the corporate litigation trenches for 25 years when I was in private practice, part of the explanation may be there were very few women in that area. In the early 1980s, there were probably, 10 or a dozen women who were doing that kind of corporate litigation full time. Now the numbers are much higher, and in fact, there is a women's networking group that has been formed to help them develop their business in the Court of Chancery. We did have an interesting discussion about how to promote the newer members of the bar and provide them with litigation experience so that they could rise through the ranks. And the federal judges have really done a number of interesting things in terms of issuing standing orders that really encourage the participation of newer members of the bar. In fact, there's a compilation of them at www.nextgenlawyers.com. and you can see what they are doing. And so I think some of it is just women coming through the ranks, but frankly, women tend to drop out of private law firms at every level faster than men do. And I'm not sure why. I think that's just a statistical fact.
Where do we go from here for women listening who are interested in the law, for little girls who are, you know, thinking about getting into the profession? What advice do you have as Justice of the Supreme Court?
I would encourage them to pursue their dreams, because I think the atmosphere now is far better than even when I entered the profession back in the late 80s. And there are many opportunities. I think for individuals who work hard, and I still believe in the American dream, frankly, and I think if you work hard and plow forward, you can do just about anything you want to do. Now, one of the things we did is talk about how often women appear before the Delaware Supreme Court, Kelly. That was kind of an interesting discussion, and it really arose from an article that a former federal judge, Shira Scheinlin, had written in the New York Times that was published on August 8, 2017. And she was talking, the name of her article, the title of her article, rather, was Female Lawyers Can Talk Too. And she was talking about a recent New York Bar Association report that said the number of women attorneys appearing in speaking roles in court was found low at every level and in every type of court in New York. And she found that women lawyers were the lead lawyers in private litigation between private parties barely 20% of the time. And she also noted low participation in big bet the company type of civil corporate cases. And so one of the things I did informally, we don't normally track this sort of thing, but we looked at the number of women appearing before the Delaware Supreme Court over the last several years, and it hovers between 32 and 37% of the cases are being argued by women. And it would be my perception that we didn't break it down by case type, but the public bar comprises probably a bigger portion than women arguing corporate cases. The Delaware Attorney General's Office, for example, has 56% of its lawyer complement comprised of women lawyers, and the Delaware Office of Defense Services has about 34% women. And we see them frequently arguing cases before the Delaware Supreme Court. It's a little bit more rare to see women arguing the big corporate cases, although there are certainly some. And you know, there are prominent women doing such cases. So I don't really know what the explanation is, but it is better than it was. That's all I can say.
Are cases, Justice, overseen by women argued differently?
I don't think so. In my experience, I never discerned a difference between a woman's approach to arguing a case versus a man's approach. That's not something that I noticed.
Anything else from the conference in Philly yesterday that stood out for you?
I think just the tremendous support among members of the bar. It was well attended. The tremendous openness of the panel members in discussing how they got from point A to point B in their careers, and really the kind of reaching out and offering to help those coming along to do what we can to help them get to the next stages of their career. And that's, I think, something that women judges can do is be present, offer your advice and support to the people. Of course, we have to be fair and impartial, and we encourage all new lawyers to get good training and experience. But it was really, I think, a very positive kind of conference, and I think Delaware's progress was noted.